And turn to the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 7. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 7. And let me adjust this thing. Matthew chapter number 7. And we'll begin reading in verse number 15. The Bible says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth fruit, good fruit, is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." Let's pray together. Dear Father, we do thank you so much for this afternoon. We thank you for the singing that we've heard and how it's lifted our hearts and our souls. Father, we're thankful for those who are willing to be used to be such a blessing to us this afternoon. Now we ask you, Father, that you would help us this afternoon in the preaching of your word, that you would give us that, Father, which would best feed our souls, which would best fit us to serve you in these our days. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus made this statement. He said, "A good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit." He says, every tree that bringeth not forth fruit, good fruit, is hewn down and cast in the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And this afternoon, I'd like for us to just consider, and the message is going to turn just a little bit from what I had intended originally. I believe God just began to stir my heart on a few things here. But I want to talk about being a good tree. Being a good tree. Now, we have trees in here in the Bible. There's the blasted tree in the book of Jude. He's talking about these in verse number 10. He said, "But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally, as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah." You look at those three people. Cain, what was his problem? He's a man of hate. He hated his brother. Well, all Abel was doing was what was right and good, but that just really got under his skin, and he killed him for it. And then you look at not just Cain, but then you look at, he said, greedily after the era of Balaam. What did Balaam want? Balaam wanted money. That's the big thing, Balaam. He said, you know, he wanted the money, and the king, he wanted the king to give it to him, but God wouldn't let him curse him. And so what did he do? After he got done blessing him, he went back and said, "I can't curse him. God would have to curse him, but I can tell you what to do to get God to curse him." Well, why did he do it? He wanted the money. And then Corey, the gainsaying Corey, what was his problem? He wanted the prestige. "Oh, well, you just think you're holier than the rest of us, Moses." He didn't understand that Moses wasn't there because Moses thought he was some hot shot. He was there because God called him to it. And so he says to these people that these are spots in your feasts of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds that are without water, carried about with winds. Trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Man, that's the worst condition you can be in, is to be someone who lives, who has difficulty loving anyone, who all you can think about is getting money, and who has to have everybody's attention and praise. That's about as bad as you can get. You won't get any worse than that. I could go through several examples in history if you study the lives and the histories the lives of people in history. Some of these really horrible people, that's what they were after. And there are some of them who even were in churches. There's even people like that in churches today. And he says they're spots, feasts of charity. These are the blasted trees. Twice dead, plucked up by the roots. There's the barren trees that Jesus talked about. He said there in the book of Mark, chapter number 11, he said, "And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. For the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And the disciples heard it." Now, he was saying, he did all this to make an example of that tree, of what the power of God is, of how you having faith in God can do things. But this tree had all the appearance of health. It was green, had leaves, but it didn't have any fruit. He said the same thing in Luke. He's talking about a parable about a certain man who had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came and sought fruit therein and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, "Behold, these 3 years I came seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground?" I mean, honestly, why in the world should people just come to church and just sit in the pews and be content to not do anything for the cause of Christ? He says, why cumber? Think about that. The word cumbereth it the ground. You know what that means? Why is it in the way? Don't get in the way of God's work being done in the house of God. Or in the community, which is where we're supposed to be. He said, why cumber the ground? Cut it down. And he answered, he said to them, "Let alone this year also till I dig about it and dung it. And if I bear fruit, well, and if not, after that I shall cut it down." Listen, you don't want to be a barren tree. Someone who just looks good sitting there in the pew. But you have no heart or fruit in Christ. You don't want to be a barren tree. But then the third tree, and this is the one I really want to talk about, and then we'll be done, is the bearing tree. The bearing tree. In Psalms 1, talking about the godly man, it says, "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in the season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth, it shall prosper." We talked about this a little bit this morning. But I'd like to just look at some fruit that I think that we ought to see on a bearing tree. Turn back to the book of Psalms, as this is where we'll get our fruit from. Psalms 27. It's one of my favorite psalms. My life verse is in this psalm. Psalms 27, 4. "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." But here in Psalms 27, I think we can see some fruit that ought to be on a bearing tree. First of all, I think we ought to see faith on a bearing tree. He says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" That's faith. That's the faith that the psalmist had in God. David was a man of war. You think about all the battles that he fought, and this sums up that whole philosophy. He says, "Who shall I fear? The Lord is my strength, the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" There ought to be faith in a bearing tree.
There ought to be faith in a bearing tree. You ought not to be cast aside so easily by things that come up in your life and distress you. All of us have things in our lives that will distress us. But our confidence ought to be in God. The Bible says that he shall keep thee in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee. That ought to be fruit, faith. That's one of the fruits. By your fruits you shall know them. That ought to be faith in a bearing tree. It's not that sometimes your faith isn't weak. It's not that sometimes you don't wonder why. I mean, even Job, you know, he was there and he said, why? He said, I wish God were right here. I would ask him, I'm paraphrasing. I would ask him, why are you doing this to me? He said, oh, that my words are written in a book. Well, they were. Why? So that you and I could see that even a man like God, Job, who feared God and eschewed evil, that even he sometimes ran up against this thing of faith. When he comes around, think of John the Baptist. Well, John the Baptist, man, he is the one out there, and he was baptizing in the river. They were all coming. He saw Jesus. He saw him when he baptized him. He saw the Spirit descend on him in the form of a dove. And God had told him, the guy you see descend on the Spirit descend on him in the form of a dove, that's the Messiah. That's the Lamb of God. God told him that. He saw it, and he went around telling everybody, "I saw it. He's the one. He's the one. He's the one." He gets thrown in prison. What does he do? He calls a couple of his disciples and says, hey guys, come here. Would you go ask Jesus if he's the one or if we look for somebody else? Would you go ask? Even John the Baptist, the best man ever born of woman, the Bible says. He was the greatest man ever born of woman was John the Baptist. Full of the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. What a guy! But even he said, go ask Jesus if he's the one. Because he looked at the circumstances. But you know, when he heard the word of God, he was okay. Well, that's the way faith is. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. Faith is one of the fruits. He said in verse number 2, when the wicked, even mine enemies and foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell, though an host should encamp against me. My heart shall not fear, though war was right against me. In this will I be confident. I think the second fruit you ought to see in a fruit-bearing tree is some fight. I think there ought to be some fight in a fruit-bearing tree. You know? I mean, you look at these trees and, man, lightning strikes them and they get split up and they, you know, they can get healed up or they can die. But they can still bear fruit. There ought to be some fight in a fruit-bearing tree. He said, I don't care. He said, I don't care if a host encamps against me. Me personally. I don't care if everybody in town encamps against me. I'm still going to stand for God because I trust Him. There ought to be some fight in a fruit-bearing tree. There ought to be some desire in God's people to spread the gospel. It doesn't matter how the world looks at it. To tell, to speak the truth in love, yes. But nonetheless, to tell them. And not worry about their faces. It's what God told Jeremiah. He said, don't you worry about their faces. Man, brother, I've had people make some mean faces at me when I was preaching. I mean, just some downright kind of scowl. I didn't care. I mean, you know, if that's what made them feel good, that's okay. I didn't care what kind of faces they were making at me. I don't care what kind of faces people make at me. Because I'm preaching the Word of God. It's His Word, not mine. It's what He wants, not me. There ought to be some fight in a fruit-bearing tree. I think it's something you ought to see. Look a little further here. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. There ought to be some fondness in a fruit-bearing tree. There ought to be some fondness, some love, some passion for God. There ought to be in a fruit-bearing tree just something, man, where you just talk for Jesus just about a few minutes. And they're in love. It ought to be that way in a Christian's life. It shouldn't take, you know, a preacher or a song leader or somebody shouldn't have to get you all pumped up and excited about worshiping the Lord. You ought to come that way. There ought to be some fondness in a fruit-bearing tree. I love God. Why? Because He first loved me. Jesus said, "He that is forgiven much, loveth much. He that is forgiven little, loveth little." But I have to always ask the question, I'd like to meet the person who's only been forgiven little. That's only in their mind. They're legends in their own mind. I don't know about you, but when I got saved, I was forgiven much. I was forgiven beyond imagination. I was forgiven beyond my own ability to really even believe that He could forgive me that much. Man, that'll be some fondness in a fruit-bearing tree. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments, Jesus said. Amen? How about your fruit? You shall know them. That'll be some fondness. Man, how can you sit and listen to the songs they sang this afternoon? And how can it not bring a tear to your eye? How can it not bring a shout to your heart? How can it not thrill you? How can it not? Maybe there's no fondness on your tree. Maybe you're not producing that fruit. That'll be some fondness. He said, "For in time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer His tabernacle. Sacrifices of joy I'll sing. Yeah, I'll sing praises unto the Lord." There ought to be some friendship in a fruit-bearing tree. He said there, in the time of trouble, He'll hide me in His pavilion. Well, who do you hide your enemies in a pavilion? No, you hide your friends. There ought to be some friendship, some camaraderie between you and Christ. What did Paul say? He wanted to. He said, "I want to have a part in the fellowship of His sufferings." That means I want to be counted with Him. I want to be one of Him. You know, I was in the Marine Corps. And every place I go, if there's another person who's in the Marine Corps there, we have an instant camaraderie. Now, that doesn't mean that I agree with everything they do and say. But we have an instant bond because we both were in the Marine Corps. And I believe that's the way it ought to be with Christians. It ought to be an instant bond between us and between Christ. You're a child of God. I'm a child of God. It ought to be an instant friendship. And between me and Christ, He's my best friend. And my wife's the next. But even when I was single, ladies and gentlemen, my best friend after I got saved was Jesus Christ. He walked with me and talked to me every day. Every day. What a friend we have in Jesus. It ought to be friendship. It ought to be that mind and that heart of a fruit-bearing tree. That Jesus is my friend. A friendship. Notice, he went on to say, "And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord." He said, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." There ought to be some faithfulness on a fruit-bearing tree. There ought to be some faithfulness. Did you see what he said? He said here, he said that he was going to offer in his tabernacle the sacrifices of joy. There was some faithfulness to God. Some desire to give Him the glory and honor due His name. It wasn't what I did. It's what He did for me. That's faithfulness. Being faithful to Him. He's the one who did it. Not me. If you see anything good in me, like I said this morning, anything good that you see in me is not a result of me. It's a result of Christ in me. It's what He's done to me. I have a great time being saved. I'm just tickled to death. In case you can't tell. I love being God's child. And I love to give Him the credit for all that He's done. That'll be some faithfulness. Faithful to praise Him. Do you lift up the Word of God? Do you rejoice in the Lord? Faithful to talk to Him. He said, hear me when I cry with my voice. Man, that tells me that he had a regular communion with Him, a talking with Him. How would it be if I never talked to my wife? What kind of relationship would we have? But we love each other. We talk to, we see each other every day. I love it. I love being married to my wife. There should be a faithfulness there. And not only that, but notice what He said. Now this is the real thing. He says, when thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. That's faithfulness. He said, God, I'm going to do whatever you said. He said, seek my face. He said, okay, that's what I'm going to do. You want me to spend some more time in prayer? You want me to fall on my face before you? That's what I'm going to do. Man, when you go to pray, you ought not to go sit down, kneel down to pray and set a time and say, God, I'm going to pray for the next 5 minutes. You ought to just pray. You ought to stay until God meets with you. That's what you ought to do. And I'm guaranteeing you, you do that, you're going to have a good time after you get your sin out of the way. It's not going to be a good time then, but it will be. Get all that out of the way and begin to have fellowship with God and you begin to understand His will in your life, what it is He wants you to do in particular. There's nothing like it. When you said, seek my face, that's what I said I would do. You said, Jesus, you said I should be a soul winner. I'm going to be a soul winner. You said I should pray. I'm going to pray. You said I should memorize the Scripture. That's what I'm going to do. Whatever you say. There ought to be some faithfulness in a fruit-bearing tree. Faithfulness. And then He says this. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not my servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. See, even though he has all that, he's not planning on leaving God. There are too many people who I've met that they're just fine and dandy come to church and saying they know God until God doesn't do just exactly what they want Him to. And then what do? Well, I'm not going to be here anymore. They get all mad, been out of shape. That's not faithfulness to God. Faithfulness to God is, God, I'm yours and it doesn't matter what happens between now and then. I'm yours the rest of my life, and I don't care what comes. And you're going to say, well, you don't know what's going to come. No, I don't, but He does. That's faithfulness. He says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. But then this last part. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in plain paths because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I like this last verse. It's like He knows we're reading it. He says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. There ought to be some faintlessness in a bearing tree. Faintless. Faint not. He said, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. What do you need? You need some more strength. Amen. You need to get built up in the Lord. He says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. faint not. Don't get tired. Everybody gets tired. Don't lay down and quit. You think Jesus wasn't tired the day of the crucifixion? Been up all night getting beat and questioned? You think he wasn't tired dragging that cross up the hill? He sure was. But he didn't faint, did he? No. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. What a God. What a Savior we serve. Some fruit that ought to be on a bearing tree. I don't want to be the blasted one. And I don't want to be the barren one. Just nice window dressing. You know, we got these things here. You ain't going to get any fruit off those. They ain't real. They're not real. Do you have a real relationship with Christ this afternoon? Let's all stand to our feet for just a few minutes.